From News Talk 580 1059 KMJ, this is the Matty Report, Valley Views Edition. Now here's your host, Mark Kepler.
In November 2016, California voters went to the polls and legalized the recreational use of marijuana.
Is the political landscape changing for recreational use? Our guest is Brian Vincente, considered one of the nation's top spokespersons for the legalization of marijuana.
We'll also hear from Fresno City Councilmember Gary Bredefeld, Fresno County Sheriff Margaret Mims, Fresno Bee reporter Rory Appleton, Hanford Sentinel reporter Seth Miniver, Atwater City Councilmember Brian Raymond, and Modesto Bee and Merced Sun Star editorial page editor Mike Dunbar.
Additional funding for the Matty Report made possible by a grant from the wonderful company, harvesting health and happiness around the world. From the California Channel at the State Capitol and the Matty Institute, it's the Matty Report with Executive Director of the Matty Institute, Mark Kepler.
Proponents of legalized marijuana are on a roll. In November 2016, 8 out of 9 states passed marijuana legalization measures. Is the political landscape changing for recreational marijuana use? Our guest is Brian Vincente, considered one of the nation's top spokespersons for the legalization of marijuana. Welcome to the Matty Report.
Thanks so much.
So how do you explain the recent steady movement toward legalization of marijuana nationwide?
Well, there's absolutely been a trend here. I mean, we now have 28 states with medical marijuana and 8 states with recreational marijuana or adult use, including California. And I think a lot of this started, interestingly, in California in the mid-90s with medical marijuana passing. And then that sort of showed the public, who I think previously was told that marijuana is this reefer madness, evil substance, that in fact, you know, it's not as bad as some people think. It can help people medically. And I think that softened up the public, and they began to really understand that this is a product that could be sold and regulated.
Is this really, though, is this more about changing social mores or local governments, state governments, looking for another source of tax revenue?
Well, I think it's a bit of both. You can look at states that have legalized that are already implementing those systems, unlike California, which will be coming on board next year. And they're producing tremendous amounts of tax revenue and jobs. Colorado, for instance, where I'm from, it's a $1.3 billion regulated market and about $200 million in taxes. And that's very significant for a lot of states.
Yeah, in California, there was a study done, I believe by the LAO, that said that the range is going to be about $600 million in the first year, and then going up after 2 years to about $1 billion in tax revenue for the state with recreational marijuana use being taxed. Now, let me ask about medical marijuana. We talked about that. You just mentioned Prop 215 20 years ago. That seemed to be kind of open the floodgates, as it were, to medical marijuana being, similar laws being passed by other states. You're thinking that Prop 64, this most recent one on recreational use in California, is going to have the same effect?
Well, I think it's quite possible that this will be viewed as a bit of a tipping point. We now have a good number of states with recreational use, California obviously being an enormous state with an enormous economy and a global footprint. And I think, when we legalized marijuana in Colorado and the subsequent states, that really sent a message that there's an alternative to prohibition to people around the country and around the globe. And with California, a pretty mainstream large state, getting on board, I think that message is really amplified.
Yeah, and you've got now, 8 states that have legalized recreational marijuana. And I think that represents, I was reading, 68 million people now have access to recreational marijuana use. That's a pretty substantial number.
It is, absolutely.
Can you sum up kind of the experience with those states that have legalized marijuana? Critics would say that legalization of backers, people like you, overstate the benefits and they discount some of the social costs associated with medical marijuana. What's been the experience from your perspective?
Sure. Well, in terms of legalization, I mean, it's important to note we're only a couple years in, right? So really only in 2014 did we start to see recreational sales, and only a couple states have come on board, but a number of other states, including California, are ready to go. But what do we know so far? I mean, there's a lot of people that said, if you legalize marijuana, the sky is going to fall, there'll be blood in the streets. And fortunately, what we've seen is generally a number of positive things. We're seeing a lot of tax revenue, job creation. We're seeing youth or teen use remain static, so it hasn't spiked. So I think there's a lot of positive things going on.
Well, they're actually, in the research that I was looking at, that's true in Colorado. But in Washington, what was also passed, there was an increase of about 2% among 8th graders and 4% among 10th graders with the passage in Washington specifically. But let me ask you this. A lot of people will say, listen, this is a gateway drug. Right, and so there's an opiate epidemic that's occurring in the United States right now. What impact will recreational marijuana have on illegal drug use?
Mm-hmm. Well, in particular with the opiate crisis, this is fascinating. And I travel this country talking about marijuana, meeting with state legislators, and the opiate crisis is massive in this country. And what we've found is remarkable. When states pass medical marijuana laws, we see opiate deaths drop state after state. And I think that's because there's people have an alternative to using opiates for pain use or
that's the big use of opiates is for pain use, correct?
Correct, yeah, and they're often overprescribed. So you give someone an opportunity to use something like marijuana where people don't die of overdoses, deaths, and it's not, you know, addictive in the same nature. And they have that opportunity. So I think it's really fascinating. I mean, the broader gateway theory that if you use marijuana, suddenly you'll use other hard drugs, really has been pretty thoroughly debunked scientifically. And in fact, I think what we're seeing is a bit of a gateway where people are stopped. If you have to buy marijuana from a regulated market where you're asked for ID and you're under camera, you're not offered other drugs the way you would be at a drug dealer.
Yeah, it's interesting. Some of the stuff, the studies that you're citing are put out by the National Academies of Science, JAMA, the National Bureau of Economic Research. I mean, I've read some of these, and it's kind of surprising, some of the findings. Mm-hmm. Let me ask this last question in this segment. U.S. Attorney General Jeff Sessions has stated that, quote, there is more violence around marijuana than one would think, unquote. What impact has marijuana, legalization of marijuana, had on crime?
Well, we haven't, in states that have legalized marijuana, we have not seen any rises in crime. And I think, you know, Attorney General Sessions is fairly out of touch with the American public in terms of just his views on marijuana. You know, the majority of the American public does support legalization, and the vast majority supports medical marijuana. So I think it's time that Sessions and Trump sort of got on board with that.
Well, we're going to talk more about the Trump administration and Jeff Sessions a little later in the program, but it's clear that the political landscape continues to change when it comes to medical marijuana and recreational marijuana. Mm-hmm. So even our most ardent supporters, however, are going to agree that, you know, marijuana legalization comes with some challenges. So we're going to talk about that in a moment. This is the Maddie Report. Welcome back. I'm Mark Kepler with the Maddie Report, and we're talking with Brian Vicente of Vicente Cederberg and chair of the National Cannabis Industry Association about some of the challenges associated with the legalization of recreational marijuana. You know, research shows that the perception of harmfulness of marijuana among young people drops significantly in those states that have legalized marijuana. Research also indicates that marijuana use has a greater impact on brain function and development when used at an earlier age. Does that give you pause?
Well, it does. I mean, I'm a father. I have two children, and you know, I've been very involved in this movement to move towards regulating marijuana instead of prohibiting it. And I do think we need to think about the effect on children and teens. In terms of perception of harm, I think that's interesting because for decades we've been told that marijuana is your brain on drugs, it'll fry your brain, it's akin to heroin. And now that we're actually having facts and science coming out about marijuana, and particularly its use for adults, we're learning it's not that bad. So I think youth are just sort of reacting to that, to being fed actual science and data on this. Now, it is worth noting, I mean, marijuana is not good for the developing brain. So as California steps into this debate about how to regulate this product, I think it's crucial that there's intense public education, that there's labeling standards, that there's childproof packaging.
So even as a proponent of legalized marijuana, you're not proposing that people like 16 or 18-year-olds be using this?
No, absolutely not. It's really not a good idea for teens, right? And it's incumbent upon the adults in the room to make sure it's regulated and kept away from them.
Well, let me talk about, you know, another issue that's kind of related to that, and that's edibles, where they have marijuana in candies or baked goods. The problem is that the body processes that differently than if you smoke it, inhale it in your lungs, as opposed to ingesting it and your stomach reaching you through that pathway, as it were. It takes longer to have the effects. The effects last longer. So you might have some inexperienced users ingesting more than they should. Mm-hmm. And that can cause all kinds of problems. How can that issue be addressed?
Well, I think, you know, for the first time ever, we're going to have a significant amount of tax revenue coming into California and other states from marijuana sales that can be used for public education. And I think addressing edibles is crucial. I think also labeling and then obviously just teaching adults they need to keep marijuana in any form away from teens, keeping it locked up is the right approach.
You know, another issue when it comes to legalizing marijuana is the DUI issue. People driving under the influence, that's going to cause all kinds of problems. There's been California studies that show that 30% of drivers in fatal crashes have one or more drugs in their systems, and the most prevalent drug they have in their system typically is marijuana. Mm-hmm. It's in line with alcohol use. Marijuana use and alcohol use are pretty similar. Yet in California, we have no numerical number for intoxication when it comes to marijuana. So isn't an increase in DUI accidents, situations, a legitimate concern of folks?
I think it's a legitimate concern. It has not really been a problem in states that have moved forward with legalizing marijuana. And it is worth noting that in California, you know, it is illegal to be impaired while driving under the influence of marijuana or any drugs.
So, and one of the problems is that when you're looking at impairment, you're looking at the DUI sheets and the field sobriety tests that police officers use, it's kind of subjective judgments. You know, it's slurred speech or unsteady gait. That's a judgment call. I think those cases are probably harder to prove than we have a numerical number like an alcohol. Mm-hmm. It's more objective.
Yeah, no, that's true. But really, the science on marijuana has not shown a hard number the way you have with alcohol, where it's 0.08 BAC or what have you. And so I think, you know, this is an area that more study is needed and more firm guidelines for the public and law enforcement.
But didn't Colorado adopt 5 nanograms as their standard?
They did, and that's 5 nanograms of active THC. Marijuana can stay in your system in a sort of inert way for days or maybe weeks, depending on how heavy the user is. Mm-hmm. So it could be that 5 nanograms is the appropriate number.
But that's going to be the debate. Sounds like it's going to be around
sort of
that,
a scientific debate around
that number. There's also indication that growers are going to get more efficient. And there has been some studies that have reported that more efficient production results in a dramatic drop in the cost of marijuana, so up to 70% lower prices. As the price drops, are you worried at all about more use or abuse of marijuana?
Well, I think there is an economies of scale here. When you say, you know, people can grow marijuana in large warehouses or fields, that the price is going to drop, right? And I think it's up to the government and to really produce or to create tax rates that make it still, you know, prohibitive or, you know, difficult enough for people to access marijuana. Well, they have to think twice when they're purchasing it because they're paying such a heavy price. And, you know, I think other states have adopted that. California is looking at about a 25% tax rate to the user. And, you know, I imagine.
Yeah, that range, I've seen, heard that tax rate, I think 25 to 38% potentially. Yeah. Let me ask another question, another challenge, and that is this whole, the cash involved. You know, banks generally don't want to work with marijuana businesses because of federal laws against recreational marijuana. It's considered a Schedule I drug. So the result has been kind of a cash and carry business. And so folks are saying, listen, that's going to create all kinds of opportunities for crime, whether it's underreporting of the revenue or theft or armed robbery, et cetera. Wouldn't it be safer to just wait until the federal drug and banking laws permit the sale of marijuana?
Well, you know, the question is how long we'd have to wait for that to happen. And California voters by 57% margin said they wanted legalized marijuana. So if we wait for federal action, it could be 10 years. But I would note that the feds have said that banks can work with this industry. They just have somewhat onerous reporting requirements for banks that choose to work with marijuana businesses, and a lot of banks have chosen not to get involved. So I think it's really on banks and perhaps Congress to loosen some of those requirements in order to address this, which is really a very important public safety issue.
My understanding is that the numbers vary, but about 70% of folks don't use banks, but about 30 to 40% do use some kind of banks. They're just charged more for this service in this situation. Mm-hmm. Well, that's interesting. Thanks for talking about the challenges associated with marijuana legalization. So how should California regulate legalized marijuana? What can we learn from other states? That conversation in a moment. This is the Maddie Report. Welcome back. I'm Mark Kepler with the Maddie Report. We're talking to Brian Vincente of Vincente Cederberg and dubbed by The Guardian, a British publication, as, quote, the industry's de facto spokesperson on marijuana. So full implementation of the California law is January 1, 2018. So California is going to ramp up pretty quickly here. How should California set standards, regulatory standards, when it comes to labeling, quality testing, and packaging? What can we learn from other states?
Well, the important thing is there are other states to look at, and there's medical marijuana places to look at as well. What we found to be really successful in other states is having a robust group of diverse stakeholders get together, including people that have been growing marijuana, sheriffs, lawyers, concerned parents, getting them all together in a room and talking about the issues of common concern. Labeling, packaging, you know, how do you address even things like driving an influence. And so I think if you look at other states, take their best practices, and then take important local feedback, you'll land in a good place.
Okay, the key word there is stakeholders.
Yep.
Okay, so let me ask another question. There's something called track and trace, and that is kind of identifying cannabis plants and edibles and by the licensing authorities, kind of tracking it through the distribution system using IT, information technology. What are some of the best practices used elsewhere?
Well, I think this is a crucial piece, and California will be right to do well by this. And what we see is, in most states, is called seed-to-sale tracking. So you essentially have, you know, RFID tags on the plants when they're very, very small, all the way up to the time that they're harvested. Importantly, everything is on camera. So every square inch of that cultivation facility, that production facility, of that dispensary or store is on camera. And there's things like manifests when you have to move it back and forth. And really, the government's pretty involved in regulating this product.
It would seem like the FDA regulates food. And so it knows, for example, if lettuce is contaminated, it can trace that contamination back to a certain field or a certain farmer. So I'd assume same technology could be used here.
It can. Again, this is still kind of developing, but and people are very concerned about at the point of sale not having sort of a government-placed chip come back to their house or something like that. But in terms of recall procedure, absolutely in place, and they're able to identify and trace back where those plants came from.
California's legislative analyst, is a nonpartisan office, has kind of looked at this and is really encouraging the legislature to kind of line up the medical and non-medical cannabis regulations to the maximum extent possible. Mm-hmm. Good idea?
I think there's good and bad there. I do think we can learn from the positive things and the negative things California's done around medical marijuana and incorporate best practices there. But there's a little bit of concern at the federal level because, we have Attorney General Sessions saying he's going to come after recreational, but maybe not medical. So if we intertwine the two too much, there could be some cause for concern.
Okay. The LAO also recommends an incremental approach to giving money to these state agencies. And there's lots of state agencies really involved in this. I think there are up to 19 or something. A lot of different state agencies involved. How much money they should get as this rolls out? He said, take an incremental approach to this. Don't give them all a bunch of money up front. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think it makes sense probably to overfund a little bit at the beginning. And we've seen in other states that typically the cost of implementation of marijuana regulation is actually quite a bit less than you think. But I think at the beginning, there's going to be best practices learned. There's going to be more of an expense. And I do think it makes sense to provide significant funding at the beginning.
There's also another issue in Prop 64 that I found kind of curious, and that is an attempt to prevent monopoly by large growers. And it's got a provision there that says that more than 1 acre of outdoor growth space or 22,000 square feet of indoor canopy can't be licensed until January 1, 2023, 5 years later than everybody else. Good idea?
Well, I think it's certainly an interesting idea. I think there's some merit to it, and it's sort of a California-specific. Again, there's a lot of states with a lot of different marijuana laws, and this none of them have these sort of anti-monopoly provisions like California. So I think it's worth looking at. And I do think currently, and for the last probably 40 years, there's been a lot of small-scale cultivators in California. It is crucial that those people come into the regulated system and don't remain in the black market. And I think providing them this path and even blocking out the larger Walmarts of marijuana does make sense in the short term.
Yeah, it sounds like they want to let the smaller growers get a foothold in the market before they let the big ones come in, because they're concerned about being overwhelmed by some of the big suppliers. Finally, states and localities in California are going to be dealing with this. What are some of the biggest unintended consequences that other states have run into when they've legalized recreational marijuana?
Well, certainly things like, how are you going to set the tax rate? If it's taxed too high, then people will continue to go to the black market. Too low, you're not going to produce a lot of the revenue for the state. Things like, edibles are certainly important to think about and put, working groups in front of thinking about how to address those issues. And really educating the public. Just because marijuana is legal does not mean it's legal for people under 21, does not mean you can drive under the influence, you can't smoke in public. People need to know that.
Okay. Well, thank you for clarifying some of those regulatory issues. There's many of them out there. Mm-hmm. Well, then again, there's the Trump effect. We have a Republican president, we've got a Republican Congress, and we're soon to have a conservative Supreme Court. What impact is that going to have on California's efforts to decriminalize the recreational use of marijuana? That conversation in a moment. This is the Maddie Report. Welcome back. I'm Mark Kepler with the Maddie Report. So will President Trump's election, a Republican-dominated legislature, and a conservative Supreme Court affect California's attempt to legalize marijuana? We're talking with Brian Vincente of Vincente Cederberg, a national leader in the pro-legalization movement. So we've got U.S. Attorney General Jeff Sessions has been an ardent foe of marijuana, states that, quote, good people don't smoke marijuana, unquote. So what do you expect from the Trump administration?
Well, this is a fascinating topic. I mean, who would have thought the two big winners on Election Day would be Trump and marijuana, passing in 8 of 9 states, including California? On the campaign trail, Trump was very adamant that this would be a states' rights issue. He would respect, California and Colorado's wishes in terms of marijuana. But then he appointed Jeff Sessions, and here we have him as the Attorney General, very negative on this topic. So, we've only seen a couple statements thus far. It looks like medical marijuana will be entirely safe. I wouldn't be surprised if we see some targeted enforcement in recreational states, but I don't think it's enough to slow down the momentum this issue has.
Now, you've got a Congress that's controlled by conservative Republicans who generally believe in states' rights, individual freedom, free markets. What are the chances that Congress may exercise its control over the purse and just say, listen, we're not going to fund enforcement?
Well, it's quite possible, and we've actually seen that in medical marijuana states previously, where Congress has acted to defund essentially the DEA from arresting medical marijuana providers. We may see that for recreational as well, and I know there's a lot of push now, and the interesting thing about more states passing these laws is you now have more elected representatives in Congress from legalization states pushing for those types of measures.
Well, we've actually got a conservative California congressman, Rohrabacher, who's actually pushing that fact, that he mm-hmm. wants to defund enforcement of marijuana. He thinks it's actually a good thing, since it's individual rights, individual freedoms kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Congress also writes the laws. Mm-hmm. So there's nothing to say that Congress can't go back and amend the Federal Controlled Substances Act and decriminalize recreational marijuana. Think that's going to happen?
Well, they certainly have the power, and I think it's possible. In the Trump administration, there's a feeling that anything is possible. And again, there's
we're living in a different world.
We are living in a different world, and there's powerful arguments on both sides of the aisle. States' rights, individual freedom. These are the things that Republican administrations typically support. Will they support it in terms of marijuana? We'll see.
Well, we're looking at the 8 states that did pass. That's all. They're not red states generally, and so you think Congress is going to say, you pause about decriminalizing, marijuana. Isn't that going to be a bit of a problem with the Republican Congress? They don't want to touch that. And aren't a lot of these laws also being passed by propositions, vote of the people, as opposed to legislatures?
They are. Increasingly, they're passed by a vote of the people, although we're seeing more and more state legislatures come on board with this.
They're debating it, certainly, but it seems to be a hot-button topic.
It is a hot-button topic among legislators and elected officials. The American public, I think, has made up their mind on this issue, and the question is, will electeds listen to them and take the right steps?
And I think that's why a lot of states are punting it to propositions and having the voters decide in a direct democracy kind of situation. Mm-hmm. The thing I want to ask you also is about the courts. We have a conservative Supreme Court. There'll be a conservative federal bench as President Trump nominates people for the federal bench. This issue is going to be litigated. These kinds mm-hmm. of issues always are. What are the key issues that they're going to be litigating?
Well, again, fascinating. We have employment rights, things of that nature. Certainly.
Right. Use on the job. Can you fire someone for marijuana use?
And by and large, the courts have held that you can.
Right.
So we'll see. This is an issue that.
But
I think
then the other
really
issue, by the way, another issue. I'm sorry for interrupting, but another issue is because THC stays in the system for a long period of time. Just because you have a certain THC level doesn't necessarily mean you're under the influence. It could have been. It stays in for quite a period of time, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. Yes, it does.
So that becomes a whole nother issue.
Yeah. So you may not be impaired on the job, even though you used on Friday and you're tested on Monday. So it's we're seeing employers policies as well as courts evolve on this. But at the same time, it's one of those things we're going to see heavily litigated.
Yeah, so we're going to see lots of action in the courts. Mm-hmm. Well, let me ask you this. You got the Trump administration, Republican Congress, more conservative federal courts. It going to be difficult for them to put the genie back in the bottle. What is ultimately going to happen here?
Sure. I think we're going to see states continue to pass these laws, legalization, and ultimately we may get to 50 states that have medical marijuana. And I think there will be enough momentum from the bottom that will force the feds to change. They'll remove marijuana from the Controlled Substances Act, and they'll reschedule marijuana. So currently marijuana is a Schedule 1 controlled substance at the federal level, which means
it's like heroin.
It's dangerous. It's like heroin. It has no medical value. Most everyone...
That's a key term, though. Has no medical value. And that's one of the things that Attorney General Jeff Sessions is saying. But the research on opiate use indicates, at least for those suffering pain, it does have some medical value.
Absolutely. So you have a science versus federal law here, and I think it'll be removed from the scheduling system, probably put in the alcohol, tobacco, firearms sort of gamut to regulate. And then I think you'll see a state-by-state decision on how they're going to regulate the substance, kind of like we see with alcohol.
Very interesting. Well, I want to thank our guest, Brian Vicente, a national leader in the pro-legalization movement, for joining us. If you want to stay current with state and local politics, you can sign up for our e-newsletter, The Matty Daily, by logging onto our website. You can also check us out on Twitter and Facebook.
Up next, we'll get perspectives from throughout the Valley with Fresno City Council Member Gary Bredefeld, Fresno County Sheriff Margaret Mims, Fresno Bee reporter Rory Appleton, Hanford Sentinel reporter Seth Miniver, Atwater City Council member Brian Raymond, and Modesto B. and Merced Sun Star editorial page editor Mike Dunbar.
You're listening to the Matty Report, Valley Views Edition on KMJ.
While the political landscape for marijuana may have changed nationally and statewide, what about the Valley? We got several viewpoints from throughout the Valley. Joining us are Fresno County Sheriff Margaret Mims, Fresno B reporter Rory Appleton. That name may sound familiar to those listening on KMJ. Hanford Sentinel reporter Seth Nitiver, Atwater City Council member Brian Raymond, and Modesto B editorial page editor Mike Dunbar. We may be joined by Fresno City Council member Gary Bredefeld. He's been held up a little bit, but hopefully he'll join us. A quick note before we get started. In the earlier segment, I mentioned incorrectly that there were 19 new agencies involved with administering Prop 64. What's actually what I meant to say was there are 19 new license categories for recreational marijuana that were established by the proposition. So with that corrected, I'm going to get started here, and we'll start with Fresno County Sheriff Margaret Mims. Welcome, Sheriff Mims.
You bet.
Okay, so what are your thoughts on legalization of marijuana in California, in Fresno County specifically? And do you have the same concerns about medical marijuana as you do about recreational use of marijuana?
Yes, I do. And I don't think it's any secret to anyone out there on my position on marijuana. And as far as medical marijuana, I believe that we need to study more the cannabinoids that could be helpful with some medical conditions. Unfortunately, what happens is the THC content, which is the hallucinogen in marijuana, is going up while the cannabinoid for the medical marijuana content is actually going down. So it kind of supports the fact that it's less and less about the medicine and more about the money. We are now moving into the recreational area where money or some, I believe, is changing some people's opinions on marijuana. And I just think we're hanging our hat on something that is not stable. And I'm very concerned about that, not to mention the crime that goes along with that kind of activity, including transporting across state lines.
Yeah, you know, that's interesting because I was asking our earlier guest about, is this more about changing social mores or is this more about state and local governments looking for a new source of revenue? So that's a very interesting question that you pose. In terms of medical marijuana, that's a very interesting issue. There have been a number of studies out, one by the National Academies of Science, National Bureau of Economic Research, a number of them that indicate that from a medical standpoint, it is somewhat helpful. But, you know, I suppose more research needs to be done. But Rory Appleton with the Fresno Bee, you've done some reporting on this. What is your sense of the politics of marijuana when it comes to Fresno?
Well, you know, it's really interesting in Fresno because when you look at our city council, you have some sort of diehard conservatives. You have a few lawyers and a former police officer. But if you look at how their districts actually voted on Prop 64, only Councilman Bredefeld and Councilman Steve Brandaus actually opposed it. The city of Fresno voted in favor of it. The county did not. So if it just sort of depends. It looks like if you look at the councilmen themselves, they probably oppose it. I think we did a story last week, sort of polling them, and they seemed, you know, a little hesitant. They at least want to hear it out first before making any decisions. But if you look at, you know, what their constituents seem to want, it would appear that that, you know, any sort of ban on recreational marijuana would be shot down pretty handedly.
You know, it seems interesting when you look at this issue. A lot of times it's legislators that are kind of punting the ball to the voters through propositions. That's how this stuff is becoming legalized. Legislators, a little bit of a hot potato. They don't want to touch it. So I think you see some of that. What about medical marijuana in Fresno? What are the thoughts about that, Rory?
Well, medical marijuana is interesting because unlike, at least in the city of Fresno, unlike, say, Clovis or any of the other cities in the county, pretty much, deliveries are legal in the city of Fresno, and it's really crazy how the delivery services have become pretty advanced. I mean, you get this catalog, essentially, and it looks like a Sears catalog, and it's got, you know, edibles and oils and, you know, the dozens and dozens of the different strains. I mean, it gets specific to where you can get pot gummy bears or pot gummy worms. I mean, it's that specific. And it's relatively easy to get your medical marijuana card. I had a story, I think last year, about a doctor who lost his license because he was just sort of giving cards out without even examining patients. But then there, in the city, there are also these brick-and-mortar businesses who do sell edibles, marijuana, things like that, just sort of, you know, under the radar. And so it's an interesting question because now the city is sort of faced with, you know, do you want to regulate these sorts of businesses and profit from them, or do you want to criminalize them, keep them criminalized, keep them under operating under the radar? It's just, it's an interesting thing that they're going to have to fill out. And that's what I really love about covering pot through the valley. It's this interesting sort of black market mix with city politics, mixed with, you know, decades of social cues and things like that. It's a really, really interesting topic, and every city is handling it differently.
So could it be a situation where some city approves this and they have a delivery service in that city? Could they deliver that into another city in the valley that is kind of saying no to sales in their area? I mean, couldn't you just simply...
Yeah, and that's actually happening right now. I have interviewed somebody who works for a co-op that operates in Madera County. He was one of the men, I did a story about them looking to bring, and successfully, to the city of Huron. The city of Huron has approved, you know, medical marijuana. And he you know, worked in for a co-op in Madera and was delivering all through Fresno and all down the Central Coast.
And so I'm just going to go back to Sheriff Mims for a second. So, Sheriff Mims, what do you think about that?
Well, I think they're opening themselves up for some trouble, especially with the comments made by the Trump administration here recently about how it looks like they may crack down on recreational marijuana issues.
Would it be fair to say that you're pretty much in line with Attorney General Sessions when it comes to the marijuana issue?
That would be fair to say. And here's one of the things that on research that I've been doing. In Fresno County, we have about 2,000 young people under 18 years old seeking treatment for some kind of substance abuse. 68% of those seeking treatment are seeking treatment for marijuana addiction. About 1% for heroin, a little bit more for methamphetamine. But 68% of those under 18 seeking treatment are seeking treatment for marijuana addiction.
See, I was not aware marijuana was addictive.
Absolutely.
Abuse, I could certainly see that issue, but I wasn't aware of that. You know, I think Gary Bredefeld, a Fresno City Council member, just joined us, if I heard correctly. Is that true?
Yes, it is.
Gary is out there. Okay, Gary, I want to let you jump in here. I want to get your views on legalization of marijuana in the city of Fresno, and how do you feel about medical marijuana versus recreational marijuana?
Well, I'm clearly somebody who believes very strongly that, you know, we're a society that unfortunately abuses lots of drugs. But since we're talking specifically about marijuana, marijuana is certainly abused by many, many people. You know, I'm concerned about these recreational marijuana dispensaries that will be allowed in our city as well as a lot of cities beginning January 1st, 2018, as a result of Prop 64. And I think it's a terrible idea. It's a terrible message. I was strongly opposed to Prop 64. I think it's a terrible message we've sent to our youth that it's okay to get loaded on marijuana. And we've seen all of the problems that have happened in Colorado and the state of Washington. We're going to see those problems here. We already have plenty of our youth who are smoking marijuana. The age is getting younger and younger, unfortunately. And once it's legalized and prevalent throughout our society and community, it'll be much, much easier for young people to be smoking. It'll be sanctioned legally. You know, so of course, if they're 21, you have to be 21. But I understand exactly, you know, kids don't wait till they're 21 to start experimenting with drugs. And,
you know, I do. I just want to.
Marijuana will be flourishing.
I do want to jump in here and just say, you know, yeah. I think the research I've seen is you're half right. It is true that in Washington there was an increase by about 2% among 8th graders and 4% among 10th graders concerning, you know, marijuana use. But in Colorado, there was no significant change. So, yeah, and some would argue, you know, that's maybe statistically insignificant. But, you know, and it's still relatively new, right? This is a new thing that's happening. They don't have a lot of information, but that's the data that, I've seen on this so far. Did I hear Sheriff Mims want to jump in here for a second?
Sure.
Do you want to follow up on that at all?
Well, we get the report from the Rocky Mountain HIDA, that's the high intensity drug trafficking area, and the effects. And one of the interesting things that's coming out of Colorado since legalization, they've actually had more federal prosecutions because people operate outside the regulations. So even though you put regulations in place, it's so lucrative that people are willing to take the chance and go outside of the regulations. And again, they open up themselves to federal prosecution. And that's what happened in Colorado.
Yeah, and I think
what we also see in Colorado, Mark, is kids in school are failing more, having more trouble in school. They're having kids who are smoking marijuana being suspended. We see kids who are eating edibles, going to emergency rooms, resulting in hospitalizations. And I can tell you from research that I have seen over and over and over, whether it's in clinical journals that I see, kids, their brains are developing all the way through their mid-20s, and marijuana adversely affects that development. It can result in all kinds of psychiatric illnesses, cognitive problems. And the problems are immense, drastic. And I know the marijuana lobby wants to say, oh, there's no real impact. That's baloney. There are real impacts.
No, actually,
we had over the course of time.
You weren't able to see the or hear the person we had on earlier in the program, but he's a person who wrote the Colorado law, and he's actually very strongly opposed to youth using marijuana. At least that's his public position. No one under 21. Okay. And he did agree when I asked him about, you know, the impact on brain development for youth. He completely agreed that that's a problem and it shouldn't happen. So, you know, I do understand your concern, but on the other side, they seem to see the same thing. But I want to go over to Hanford Sentinel reporter Seth Miniver and ask him what's going on in the South Valley, particularly in Hanford and Coalinga. What's happening over there?
Well, I can definitely speak. I'll speak to Hanford and Kings County. The majority of the Hanford City Council reflects Councilman Bredefeld's position for sure. There's only one really outspoken advocate for the medical benefits of marijuana on the council. That's Francisco Ramirez in Hanford. The police chief is Parker Sever. He is Mormon. One of the city council members, Sue Sorensen, is Mormon, and their religious views are highly opposed to marijuana use. But the non-Mormons on the council
Mormons also oppose use of alcohol? So
correct, but marijuana would be included in that. So you see a great reluctance on the part of the police chief in particular to entertain the idea of a medical marijuana cultivation facility, which is what the council had been considering. But this cultivation business pulled out of Hanford because they would have to wait until after the November 2018
They were talking
election.
About the Pirelli plant, right? They're going to put it in there?
The council decided to wait until November 2018 to put a measure on the ballot to ask Hanford voters if they wanted to tax medical marijuana, and they were going to wait until then to see what the public said. So the business said, "I'm sorry, we can't wait. We're out of here."
And my understanding
looking at other cities.
Yeah, my understanding from your writing is there are three other cities that are saying, "Hey, come over here."
And he didn't specify the spokesman for the company didn't specify what the cities were. One of them could be Coalinga, which out of I think a sense of economic desperation mostly. Has sort of said, okay, you know, come on in to Coalinga. You can fill our industrial park with cultivation operations.
Right. They're seeing that as a real source of money. Well, what about let's go north and up to Atwater and City Councilmember Brian Raymond. What's the feeling up in Atwater on this issue?
You know, right now in the city of Atwater, we have an all-out ban But in November, you know, we had, Prop 64 on the ballot, and it passed in Atwater, 51-49.
And that proposition said what?
The majority. Prop 64?
No, I'm sorry. Oh, you're talking about specific. I thought you had a specific city ordinance or something.
No.
Okay.
Prop 64 passed
I apologize.
In Atwater, 51-49.
Right
now, we have an all-out ban, but the council has given staff direction to look at the possible benefits of allowing medical cultivation. So we haven't, even tried to tackle the retail aspect yet. It's right now just looking at the possible benefits of medical.
Okay. We're going to probably go a little over in this segment, but I do want to get Mike Dunbar in here from the Modesto Bee. What are you seeing in the North Valley in terms of, is there any consensus on the issue of either medical marijuana or recreational marijuana?
Well, I think we're seeing the same thing that everyone else across the valley is seeing. The here it passed even an even tighter margin than in Merced County. It was 50 point something to 49 point something. And so that was in Stanislaus County. And I think the biggest issue, though, is that most people here are over it. It's coming. And so now a lot of the politicians, including conservative Republicans who fill most of the positions, they're trying to figure out how to make this thing equitable and controllable. It's a heavy lift, as one of them characterized it to me yesterday, but that's what they're looking at.
Okay. Well, we're going to talk about the politics of pot in a moment when we come back. This is Mark Kepler with the Matty Report Valley Views Edition.
You're listening to the Matty Report Valley Views Edition on KMJ.
Welcome back. I'm Mark Kepler, and this is the Matty Report Valley Views Edition. We're talking about California's recent approval of recreational marijuana with Fresno City Councilmember Gary Bredefeld, Fresno Bee reporter Rory Appleton, Hanford Sentinel reporter Seth Niniver, Atwater City Councilmember Brian Raymond, and Modesto Bee and Merced Sun Star editorial page editor Mike Dunbar. So Councilmember Bredefeld from Fresno, let me ask you, there seems to be a kind of a clash in values here among Valley Republicans. There's the kind of the just say no approach to drugs and get tough approach on law enforcement on one side. And it seems like on the other side, there's these state rights, free market, individual freedom folks. How do you think Valley Republicans are going to bridge that gap, or can they?
Well, I think they can. Look, we have to have a tough approach to dealing with drugs, period. But at the same time, we can certainly respect states' rights. I mean, the state has approved Prop 64, but also as part of Prop 64, they give municipalities the right to ban these marijuana dispensaries. And so that's obviously the fight that I've taken up and the cause that I have. But for me, my concern is about youth, about drugs, and somebody who believes in not weakening criminal laws, which we've done in this state from Prop 47 to 57 and AB 109, we should be strengthening our laws, and we should be sending out a message that, these drugs, pot, obviously cocaine, all these things, they're not good. And they're bad. And in spite of that, unfortunately, Prop 64 was passed after four decades of the marijuana lobby trying to get it approved. They finally succeeded, unfortunately.
Yeah. Well, Rory Appleton with the Fresno Bee, what's your sense? Are you hearing when you talk to political folks, particularly on the right, conservative Republicans, how they're kind of addressing this issue?
I'm not so certain that it is something that they can close the gap on. I think it's probably going to just continue how it's been playing out just in the last year and a half. I mean, I've been polling all the cities, trying to keep track of, who's looking at it, who's totally against it, who's for it. I mean, when you look at these cities, Clovis has definitely done this, and now Fresno's talking about it. It seems like they're almost violating this Republican tenet of adding more government oversight and restricting the individual freedoms. And a lot of the common reason they go to is to protect children, which makes absolute sense. But it's also interesting. It's like we don't really have, sort of dry counties or cities, even though we certainly don't want kids drinking. So, but if you look at these dispensaries, the ones that exist, there are several in Goshen and Tulare County. They're far, far more secure. I mean, the layers and layers of their own defense, for their own, they're just far, far more secure than liquor stores. And it's children will continue, even as dispensaries open, to have to get this from, you know, adults who bought it from legitimate things, just as all drugs, alcohol, sort of, you know, are pretty much, you know, acquired by children. So whether city ordinances or just, you know, parental supervision is a better option to protect children, I don't really know. But I really think that the cities are just going to continue to allow cities like Coalinga to dip their toe in, and then if Coalinga works out and they're not targeted by the feds, if they're making, because right now Coalinga really stands to make it $5-6 million a year easy from medical marijuana and recreational. I mean, if that, you know, ends up working on without a hitch, I think other cities might consider it. But I think a lot of cities are you know, willing to wait and see.
Okay. So, Seth, you're kind of hearing, Seth Nitiver with the Hanford Sentinel, you're kind of hearing this disagreement between, you know, can we bridge this gap, or can Republicans rather bridge this gap, or can't they? What do you think?
Well, I mean, I don't think there's an equal balance in Kings County between the sort of libertarian crowd and the law and order crowd. I think in Kings County, the law and order crowd clearly wins the day. I mean, they are the majority. So I think there's this fundamental conviction that there's this fundamental moral conviction that marijuana is somehow wrong. Marijuana use is wrong. And so that hasn't changed in Hanford. That consensus, by and large, has not changed. So
you don't think there's a difference
continue going forward. So they're not going to jump all. They're not going to fall all over themselves to welcome medical marijuana, unless, as Rory said, it proves to be some huge success in Coalinga, and there are no real issues associated with it.
Well, you don't think that the medical marijuana issue might be treated differently? I mean, you have Congressman Rohrabacher down in Costa Mesa, a Republican, conservative Republican, who's supporting the use of medical marijuana, says that it personally helped him quite a bit. Don't think there's going to be a differentiation between medical marijuana and recreational marijuana?
Well, you mentioned that. I mean, Hanford was willing to entertain the idea of cultivation, but they did not want any dispensaries. They were adamant about that. So it's kind of an interesting position, right? We'll allow it to be cultivated here and shipped to someone else to be used medically in the Bay Area, but we don't want our own people to use it medically. So there's still an aversion to medical marijuana.
Yeah, it's interesting because I think the controlled substances say that, you know, it has to have no medical value. And the research, at least on opiate use and pain, for, you know, to deal with pain, they are finding some positive attributes for marijuana from a medical standpoint, if you look at the empirical data anyway. So let me ask Atwater City Council member Brian Raymond, what are your thoughts, you know, in the North Valley and your city in particular? Is there this split between the law and order crowd and the libertarian crowd?
Yeah, you see that everywhere. But I have to agree with Dr. Bredefeld when he said it passed and, you know, we have to support states' rights, but ultimately it comes down to the locality, your municipality making the final rule. And so I think that's how, going back to the Republicans bridging the gap, that's how it's done, is by following, you know, the states' rights, but the laws that it's allowed the municipality to create.
Yeah, so it's a focus. So it's kind of a focus on local control. Modesto Bee editorial page editor Mike Dunbar, I want to ask you what your thoughts are on this. Are you seeing in the North Valley this kind of conflict between the law and order crowd and the libertarian crowd when it comes to the conservative Republicans in your area?
Well, first off, we have a lot of conservative Republicans. Our sheriff is a very conservative Republican. He's very much a law and order guy, but there are 13 illegal dispensaries operating in Stanislaus County. You can't tell me the sheriff doesn't know about them. Of course he does. So they've allowed this to go on. When I was doing my research on this topic, I searched high and low to find somebody who was growing. Couldn't find anyone. The day after it passed, a major grower here in Stanislaus County called, wanted to submit an op-ed. This stuff's going on. They're going to make money off of it, and the city's better, or they're going to be left holding the bag.
So your thoughts are that it's really going to be a financial issue for a lot of communities?
It is a financial issue. The issue of use was settled long ago. I'm 63 years old. And I did not and do not use marijuana, but I sure knew where to get it if I wanted it when I was 17. So, I mean, there's nothing new here. If you're worried about your kids smoking marijuana, tell them not to. Help them figure out ways to resist.
No, that's is an interesting issue that you bring up in terms of youth. I was reading a report by the California Health Report put out on March 6th said that nearly a quarter of 11th grade students in California said they had used marijuana seven or more times, according to data that was collected from 2011 to 2013 by the California Student Survey. Majority of those said they've never used the drug. So there is some use going on out there, clearly.
And a lot of non-use going on, if 75% said they hadn't. So it's a lot of this gets back to parenting. If you don't want your kids using it, then make sure they understand the pitfalls and the problems and the dangers.
Yeah. Well, a very interesting topic. I'm sure we'll be talking more about it. Very engaging conversation. I want to thank our guests, Fresno City Council Member Gary Bredefeld, Fresno County Sheriff Margaret Mims, Fresno Bee reporter Rory Appleton, Hanford Sentinel reporter Seth Miniver, Atwater City Council Member Brian Raymond, Modesto Bee and Merced Sun Star editorial page editor Mike Dunbar, and Brian Vincente with Vincente Cederberg and chair of the National Cannabis Industry Association, all of them for joining us. The views and opinions expressed in the Matter Report are those of the individuals participating in the program and do not necessarily reflect those of the California Channel or the Matter Institute. If you'd like to share your thoughts about the points and opinions expressed in the Matter Report, visit our website at matterinstitute.org.
The Matty Report, Valley Views Edition, is a public affairs partnership between KMJ Radio, Cumulus Media, and the nonpartisan Matty Institute, providing the Valley with valuable insight and analysis on politics and important public policy issues. This is KMJ.